mom surviving life. Tough questions, real answers, awesome hacks.
Hello, and welcome to Mom Surviving Life. Today, Carla and I are going to talk about friendships and relationships after pregnancy. We all know this happens, however, it doesn't hurt any less to lose friends or partners. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you listen to us on, and please follow us on social media. So, I wrote something up, and like this just kind of like just came to me. Like, this wasn't edited, this is just like, just like came out, and I like read it back and I was like, I should be a writer. We all know we lose friends after childbirth. We as people change when we become moms. Our friends may not understand the exhaustion that comes with a new baby and the postpartum mental health situation, but you also gain new friends or closer friends. Carla and I have become way closer since she had her daughter and we've started the podcast. And I phrased it like that because after I had my kids, we did not come closer at all.
No.
I think you were like 8 months pregnant and we started talking a lot.
Well, I feel like I was like raising questions in like different moms groups and stuff, and you would always respond. And then we just started talking more like personally, like back and forth. And then it just like blew up from there. Like, I knew, like, I, like, followed your pregnancy and stuff, but, like, because I wasn't at that place in my life, it's so different. Like, if, like, I wanted to get pregnant and stuff, so but I wasn't at the point where I was, like, that wasn't my life at the time, where now it'd be totally different. Like, if I had a kid and you were pregnant, it'd be totally, like, probably would have happened the opposite way. Like,
yeah. I'm also the person that, like, my pregnancy was, like, every kind of, like, curveball, monkey wrench, everything that you could throw at my pregnancy, like, I had to know about.
Oh, for sure.
Or, like, things were being raised, because I was in, like, preemie groups, twin groups, Momo twin groups, which are different. If you have Momo twins, you can understand the difference. If you don't worry about it. New mom groups. I'm a part of a group out of Windsor. I'm a part of a group out of London. I'm a part of a group that's Canada-wide. Actually, I'm in two Canada-wide groups. I'm a part of, like, the mishmash group of people that I have now as mom friends. But it's, like, I had to know everything that there is to know about singleton pregnancy and twin pregnancy and high-risk pregnancy and breastfeeding. And but, like, we did a whole thing on feeding. And as soon as it came to formula, I was, like, I'm out. I know nothing.
Right?
So, like, while yes, I knew a lot, there was still a lot that I didn't know, and I have no problem admitting that.
No, absolutely. But, like, we will, like, the things we don't know, we will research and get information.
And that was, and, like, I would, like, go on Google, and then I would also, like, there's an app called What to Expect When You're Expecting. I would go on, that has message boards, so I would be on there. There's mom groups, and then there's like people in your life that have had kids before you that you can absolutely talk to about that. And I would talk to them ad nauseam. Like, my one cousin found out that I was pregnant because she was potty training her third child, and we're sitting there talking, and she just like instantly, she's like, hold on a sec, honey, can you go take third child to the bathroom? I'm like, how do you know he has to pee? Like, this kid didn't come over and go, mommy, I gotta go pee. And this is a boy. And I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, I can just tell. And I'm like, but how? Teach me. And then she kind of looked at me. She goes, are you pregnant? And of course, I am the worst liar. Like, I could not keep that a secret at all. And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh my God, you're pregnant. And I'm like, shut. I'm like,
nobody knows. Nobody needs to know.
Well, and then, like, that night I wasn't drinking, and, like, I went and hung out with family. Like, I always have, like, one, and then my family's like, why aren't you drinking? And I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna DD tonight. Like, I got stuff to do tomorrow. Okay, and they bought it.
Well, that's good. So how have your relationships changed since having a baby?
I don't want to say I lost a lot of friends, because, like, I still talk to some of my friends. I feel like my friends have distanced themselves from me. I mean, I have a relatively small social circle to begin with, because I went through a part of my life where I was kind of a dick. I was very angry at people. And if I didn't like them, I was just like, bye, you're gone. You're out of my life. My social circle has been kept small. Like, there's my friend Cass that I've been friends with since high school. And then the only other person that I've really talked to was my friend Liv. And we didn't talk for a few years because she dated some guy. I'm like, this guy's absolutely wrong for you. And I can't watch you go down that road. The same thing happened with Deanna, my other friend. So really, like, I've only had like 3 or 4 friends that I've kept. And I've had a few friends that have come in and out of my life. And the friends that have come in and out of my life, when they come back into my life, like, we maintain a relationship, but it's never the same as it was before. And I'm like, the only people that I have like a truly like strong relationship with really is like you, Shanna, and Cass. Like, I have a great relationship with Deanna, but we didn't talk for a few years. And like, now the relationship is almost back to where it was, but like, it took a conscious effort on both of our parts to get it there. And if we didn't consciously do that, I don't see it getting there. But like, I would put Deanna in the same mix, but Deanna and I did have a period of time where we didn't talk. I also no longer go to bars. So like, the friends of mine that I would call to go to the bar, I either don't see as much, or like, they just comment on my Facebook stuff and it's just like, oh, hey, thanks. Like, I'll post a picture of the girls and like, oh my God, they're so cute, I need to come visit. And then they never do.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just like, eh, it happens. Like, I'm not really too butthurt about it. But I mean, with relationships with your friends, it's a conscious effort on both people's parts. And that's the thing that they don't really teach you after high school, is like, you actually have to call that person up and be like, hey, how's it going? So yeah. Like, I really try to maintain my relationships with certain people that like, I want to maintain that relationship with. And sometimes like, there's days where Cass and I won't talk for like a week. And then we're like, oh my God, I have a week's worth of stuff to tell you. We're on the phone for like 4 hours.
Yeah. And then
you, I'm pretty sure I talk to like at least once a day. And sometimes it's like, we have like 2 messages of like, my day's going pretty crappy. What's your day? She's like, yep, same. I'm like, okay, cool. And then we don't talk
the rest of the day. We do like, I feel like no matter what, we check in every day. We don't necessarily like converse. Right? Like, we will do a check-in as a bare minimum. If we're both having like crappy days or super busy days or whatever, we at least check in like, hey, how's your day going? Okay. And then we just don't talk for the rest of the day.
My favorite is you asked me the one day how it was going, and I sent you the like keyboard cat on a keyboard, and you're like, oh no, I'm like, I have no time to talk. And then by the time I got home, I was like, I don't want to deal with anything.
No. Right?
So at my job, like, my boss texts me, and it can be anything from I need someone's number to do this task to whatever it is. So there's, when I get home, I'm like, I don't want to be on my phone anymore. Like, I'm slowly breaking the cycle of like wanting to be on my phone all the time. And like, you'll text me and I'm like I'll read it and just not respond to it. And I'm like, oh crap. I didn't text Carla. It's been like 4 hours. She probably thinks I'm like laying in a ditch somewhere. Like, or I just send you back a GIF and it's like something totally random.
Yeah. But I get it, because I've been there too, where it's like, you just don't want it. Like, or you're super busy. Like, you get home and the kids are being cranky. And when you finally get that minute to relax, the last thing you want to do is like talk to somebody via text message, especially, I find. I'm like, I would just rather not do anything and watch stupid television and go to bed.
Oh my God. I have never liked Netflix more than I have in the last 2 or 3 months. People are like, Netflix doesn't have anything on it. I'm like, exactly. It's great.
Yeah.
So how have your friendships changed since pregnancy? I can't even talk.
So I find I have lost a lot of friends, but I like the way you put it. Like, they distance themselves from you, which I do agree with. I find, like, maybe I didn't lose them, but they have just, like, stepped way, way back.
They have different interests.
Yes. Which is fine. I don't, like, it really doesn't bother me one bit. Having a baby is a lot of freaking work. And you're exhausted, and I give mad props. I have one friend who has a 2-year-old, like, he's, like, 6 months older than Ella, They work very random hours. Like, one day the dad could be working days. She works days and nights. He could work nighttime. Like, they're all over the place. So, like, their kid is very flexible, doesn't go to daycare. And I give them a lot of props because, like, we are trying to make plans for Saturday. And they are like, one day of messing up her routine won't ruin anything. And I'm like, I get that, but you're also not going to want to hang out with my kid at all if she doesn't get a nap. Or if we don't eat dinner by 7 at the latest, like, kind of thing, right? Like, and she's like, I get it, but, like, my kid has meltdowns too. Like, he's a 2-year-old. And I'm like, I get it. But it's different when your kid is used to a schedule. You can't just not do that schedule.
Oh, yeah. Like,
if we can avoid a meltdown, why wouldn't we try?
One of my friends, like, she was on a routine with her daughter, and her husband was like, routines. And then she's like, okay, we'll deviate. He's like, oh my God, what happened? And she goes, you wanted to deviate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the first, like, 4 years of whatever child, your life is not yours. It is run by a 2-year-old terror that you have to abide by.
Like, I give them a lot of props for their kid being very flexible, but we don't have a choice. Our kid goes to daycare and is on a schedule. Like, we don't have a choice because we work 9-to-5 jobs, essentially. Like, that's the world we live. Like, that's the world we live. So we have to stick to a schedule in order to make it all work. But, like, it's so funny because, like, just a couple years ago, we were partying all night long, weekend-long parties, like, driving back and forth because they live in the States. So I live, like, 2 seconds from the border, like the Windsor Detroit border.
It's lovely. I miss it.
I'm excited. But like, we used to just jump across and spend the weekend there and party all weekend and not think twice about it. Now our conversations are about our kids and routines and meltdowns. Like, the friendships that we have, and I speak for both Shane and I find the friendships we have are friendships with other parents. But I find the people we're closest with these days are parents that either have been through it or new parents who are just having kids. But, like, that's essentially who our friends are these days, outside of our neighbors. I feel, so, I don't know how much of that made any sense, but I feel like the friendships Shane and I have now are mostly those friendships with other parents, with kids, with ages, within 2 years of Ella's age. And the only people we really hang out with that have a kid that's like 18, almost 19, is our neighbors. But I feel like it's totally different just because they're right there. And if we, like, if they have something going on, our kid is the only kid that's allowed at their house. They're like, you're different. You're the neighbors. But, like, if other people are coming, they're like, you can't bring your kid.
I call those locational friends. Like, they're your friend because of the location to you. And it's like, we want you to come. And it's like, we understand that, like, your kid's going to be here for, like, an hour. And then they're going to bed. So, like, it's fine.
Absolutely. 100%. And I agree with that. But for the most part, everybody else, they're just, like, those people that you say hey to every once in a while. But, like, there's not much communication or anything, so it is what it is. I'm not mad about it. We're so busy with work and life and medical stuff and Ella, and we're busy enough. I don't need to add more people to the mix. Except another baby. I want another baby.
You've made that so clear. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when we started making this episode, it was like, oh, all the friends that we've lost. And I'm like, have we really lost them? Or is it just we don't have anything in common with them anymore? And it's like, I have friends that I've basically lost. And I'm like, it's not that I've lost them. I just literally have nothing in common with them anymore. And that's just the way it is. Like,
absolutely. I completely agree. Like friends that don't have kids, and then you, all you want to talk about is your kid because that's your whole world. It's hard, right? Like my sister and I, she's probably the only person I can talk to you who seriously does not want kids and like can still fully communicate, but we're also twin sisters. So like we have a bond that can't, I don't think can be broken. So,
well, and for me, like Cass is my best friend and she has no kids and she's probably not going to have kids for a little while. So it's like, it's weird because it's like my best friend has no kids, but at the same time, like we're best friends and we have more in common than just kids.
Yeah.
So like there's more things that we can talk about in a day. And like I'll sit there and I'll talk about like my ex, or I'll talk about the podcast that I want to bounce an idea off of, or like work is sucking, or I need an advice on this, or whatever it is. And like she's there and she's there to talk about it. So
yeah, but although you don't have, you say you don't have like the kid thing in common, yes, she doesn't have kids, but her job also, like she's a pediatric nurse. So she's very much in the know with a lot of kids stuff. So it kind of like, although she doesn't have kids yet, it's still there. Like the kid aspect is still there, which is why I think you've maintained such a good relationship with her, even though you don't, like she doesn't have kids yet.
Well, and the best part is like, literally when I need like medical advice, I'm like, hey Cass, and like send her pictures. And like, when I talk about like exciting new things that are happening with my kids, like I text her and she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited they're doing this or that. Like, she's not like, oh cool, your kids are walking, that's fantastic.
Right?
Like she's actually excited.
Because she understands what a big milestone it is. And especially for everything that you've gone through from day one, finding out you were pregnant. So she gets it. And I think that's why you've been able to maintain such a good friendship. The only other person I've maintained a really, really good friendship with who doesn't have kids is Alan.
Yeah, but Alan also, I feel like you have more in common than just kids. And like, honestly, this is one thing that I wanted to talk about is like, you need to have some kid-free friends to remember of who you were before you were a parent, because you are not Carla, mom, period, end of sentence. You are Carla, who is a mom and who is Alan's friend and who is Krista's twin sister, and you play baseball and you know you work at your place of work. You're this person and you're Shane's wife, and you know you're other things besides Carla and a mom. Like,
absolutely.
You're other things than just a mom.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, he's like, outside of family, he's like that one friend that, like, we talk every morning. He calls me on his way to work every morning and we chat.
But sometimes you need that friend that, like, it's Tuesday and you randomly have the day off work and you're just like, listen, I need to get day drunk. And they're like, I'm in.
Alan is that person.
Actually, Cass is that person for me. Okay. Do you want to talk about your relationship with Shane, or do you want me to talk about my cluster mess with my ex first?
I'll go first.
Okay, because I really don't want to talk about my ex, but I know we have to, so.
So, I find it starts when you get married. As much as you don't think getting married would change your relationship, it does. It has an effect on you.
Hold on, I want to stop. I want to say that Shane and Carla love each other, and they have a wonderful relationship now. Just prefacing this. You may cry at either one of these stories if you haven't already started crying.
No, we're good. Like we have a very good relationship, but it's changed. So I'm gonna give a little backstory, and it might get a little R-rated at some point.
Bleep out what I need to bleep out.
Am I not allowed to talk about?
I don't think we're allowed to say that word. Oh. I have to double check the rules as to what keeps our...
Can I say intercourse?
I feel like I might be able to get away with that one.
Okay. All right. So between getting married and having a baby, so much in your life and your world is changing. I do need to give you a backstory. So Shane and I started out as friends with benefits. We worked together. Yeah, we became good friends, and then there were benefits involved, and we did that for a long time. I want to say like 2 years. And then one of my guy friends and I started to get close, and he wanted to date, and I was still kind of hanging out with Shane, and I had a hard time ending it with Shane, but I did. Knowing, like, I'm not gonna lie, the day I left Shane and told him that we had to stop, I knew I was making a mistake, but he did not want a relationship. So it was like, well, I need to go explore this relationship and see what's gonna happen, kind of thing. So Shane and I went our separate ways. We were still in each other's lives, but different. So after, I want to say like a year with my new boyfriend, I had to end it because I just knew Shane was the one that I needed to be with and that I loved. And I just knew. It's weird when people ask, did you know? Yes, I knew. Like, he was the one. So I broke up with my boyfriend. Shane and I had a weird relationship for a little while, but then kind of got back into like the friends with benefits thing. And a little while, like, he got really jealous. Yeah, he got really jealous there for a little bit. I was hanging out with his friends at the bar with him, and we were dancing, and he got really jealous and like stormed out and wanted to walk home. And we're like, no, dude, no, you can't walk home. But everybody was like, you're just jealous that Carla was dancing with him, and it means absolutely nothing. She asked you if you wanted to dance, and you said no. So she went and found someone to dance with. So I think he slowly started to realize that he wanted more. And like, I want to say like another year later, he finally asked me to be his girlfriend. And then he moved in like a year or so after that. And then he moved out a year or so after that. And we took a break for about 2 years. Shane has lived with his mom for 99% of his life. So he didn't like when I asked him to, I don't know, clean up and pick up and help with the dishes and help with the lawn mowing and stuff like that. So he didn't like me nagging him, essentially. So he moved out. So I told him he wasn't allowed to move back in unless we were engaged when we did get back together. And he would say that he sent me this really long letter with a bunch of red roses, but he really sent the letter with a bunch of red roses. And I didn't respond right away and kind of freaked him out. But I got them, and it was like a super crazy day for me. So I just like threw him in a closet and walked away, which is why he didn't get a response. But yeah, then he moved back in. We were engaged. And then we got married, and now we have a baby. So I'm not going to lie, intercourse between all of those stages of our relationship has drastically changed. It's not a hit it and quit it kind of thing like it was with friends with benefits. After having Ella, I find it's way more sensual, I guess is the way I would describe it. It's much slower. We take our time. We enjoy each other. And it's very different. Like, I think we know each other more now than we ever have. And we know ourselves more. And we ask for what we want, whereas before we didn't. So it's just very different. And we communicate so much more. Like, just in general, in our relationship, we just talk about things way more often than we ever have. have, and it's obviously out of a necessity, but it's also been really, really good for our relationship. I think it's, like, it's changed a lot, don't get me wrong, but I think it's changed in a very good, healthy way, where a lot of people can go a different direction.
Which is kind of where my story comes in.
And then we have Erica's story. And I feel bad for laughing, but it's kind of a show.
It's okay. I laugh now. When we started this podcast, I really was like, you know, my ex is not that bad of a guy. Like, he's just kind of going through some stuff. It's been like a year and a bit. Like, we're on season two of the podcast. He's still going through it. And it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not going through anything. You're just like accumulating stuff and not processing it. He's essentially an emotional hoarder, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like a good way to talk about it. Okay. So my relationship with my ex is we met online. We met on Tinder, which is one of the dating apps I refuse to use ever again. Just don't want to use it. So we met on Tinder. We went on a few dates and we ended up hooking up on like the third date. I was super drunk. Okay. I don't remember the first time we ever hooked up. I went out drinking with some of the girls that I worked with at the bar. And they got me just like right turn day drinking. And then he came and picked me up. And we went to dinner. I don't remember eating. Luckily, it was at Bull and Barrel where I knew people. And they were like, you were so trashed at wing night. And I was like, bro, I don't remember anything. They're like, you ate like 3 pounds of wings. And like, that explains why when I puked, it burned. Oh, it was bad. So anyways, the relationship started off fantastic. He like wanted to spend so much time with me. It was awesome. I was super happy. Fast forward to like the fall before we got pregnant. He had started texting another girl like really inappropriate things. And I went through his phone, which was my own bad, but I went through his phone and I found it and then called him on it. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I want to work on us. I don't know what's going on. And I was like, okay. So we, you know, started doing date night. I sort of actively tried to like maintain the relationship and like keep it on like a good path. So my pregnancy, which if you go back to listen to episode one, the really condensed version of my pregnancy is there was an ectopic pregnancy. And then I found out I was still pregnant. And then I found out it was twins. And then I had to move to London and I was in the hospital and there was a NICU stay and everything worked out fine. In the very beginning of my relationship with my ex, he said he never wanted to leave Essex County. And I said, that's fine. I want to stay in Essex County, which is where Carla lives, which is how we met. And I didn't want to move back to London, but my choices were move to London and have a free hospital bill or move, stay in Essex County, go inpatient in Detroit, because that's where the level 3 NICU was. And that's where they were able to do inpatient care and accumulate like a $5 million hospital bill, which is basically what I had guesstimated based on the other twin Momo moms have said based on their US hospital bills. So we made the choice to move to London. Throughout the pregnancy, there was financial troubles on both sides of the relationship. We had not planned on getting pregnant. We had not planned on, you know, incurring twins, which is a huge financial commitment in and of itself, let alone the fact that we were both in debt. So we basically just stopped dating, which is awful. He cheated on me more than once in the relationship, like texting and sending people inappropriate pictures. In March of 2020, he stayed with my aunt for a weekend. He just needed some space. And this was like right at the end of March. So we had been in like COVID lockdown for about 2 weeks and he hadn't gone anywhere. Because I was literally terrified of COVID and the preemie twins. And it was just like, oh my God, like we can't do anything. So he did that to get some space. And I'm like, okay, like whatever. And then I said to him, if you come back, like you need to work on the relationship and be with me and like pull your weight, do your thing, like get through this. So he came back and we were in couples therapy at this point. Like we had started couples therapy in about January of 2020. And we were going like once a week, like we were actively like trying to make the relationship work. And then tension just built from the time he came back. And then in April, my mom basically sat us down and was like, the two of you need to figure this out. And I said to him, I'm like, you're either all in or you're all out. Like, I am giving this my all. I'm trying to make this work. You know, really the ball's in your court. Like, do you want to stay and work on this or do you want to leave? So he had a nap and then packed up his stuff at like 8 o'clock at night and drove out the laneway. And I said to him, can you just like text me to make sure that you got home? And like, I'm going to be honest, I didn't ask him to text me because I really gave a crap that he got to his house. My thought process was like, if this guy just like takes off and heads to Toronto and like he's gone and he becomes a missing person, like I'm suspect number one.
Yeah.
Like this now is a true crime podcast and I am suspect number one. Like that's basically where my mind went. So I got him to text me to be like, I got home, so that it absolved me from like any responsibility of him past that point. It's really hard because I can't really talk too much about it because we're currently in a custody battle, but I struggle 99% of the time with telling my ex that he needs to just get lost. And the other 1%, like really just hoping that he is not the crappiest person in the world like he's been. Like he currently is on a 2-week break from the kids, which was his choice. That's how it lined up. He doesn't need to take a whole week from the kids, but he chooses that. He chooses to not see them on Easter. He chose not to see them on Christmas Day. He chose, you know, he chooses every day to actively not be involved in his kids' life until he needs to make himself look good. And then he's like super dead. So I am stuck picking up, I'm going to say 99% of the parenting responsibility, honestly. Mm-hmm. I do every doctor's appointment. I do every eye doctor's appointment. My kids have had surgery. I was there and I went and saw both kids right at a surgery. I was there every day when they were in NICU. I lived in the hospital with them while they were in NICU. Thank God for the hospital that we were in. It is amazing. I have nothing but good things to say about those nurses and doctors and everything. But I currently am in therapy and working on myself. And looking back on my relationship with my children's father, it was 100% toxic on both sides. I was not good for him. He was not good for me. I will admit that. And if someone out there is like, well, that's just completely wrong. No, it's 100% honest. We were both wrong for each other. But there is now two tiny little people in this world because of us. And love it or lump it, we got to figure it out. So I've tried the co-parenting route. I've tried completely just ignoring him and just doing it on my own. And he gets mad when I do that, but then he doesn't want to co-parent, but he wants to be involved. Like, I feel like I'm in a broken record because it's also torn my family apart, because there's people in my family that don't even speak to me anymore because I've ended the relationship with my ex and they're siding with him. But they, A, don't want to hear my story, and B, they don't care what my story is. And their justification for it is, well, you treated him like crap. Valid. I absolutely did treat him like crap, but he also treated me like crap. So it was a two-way street and crap flew both ways. I'm at least adult and mature enough to own that. Just like when we had Anthony on, he's like, the relationship was not going to work. And it sucks, but like my ex is taking me to court for custody. And it's like, dude, we've been at this for almost 2 years and you have literally nothing to show for it. And every single time that we go to court, he gets less and less. I've also started dating. I don't know why, honestly. So ironically, Cass has also just become single. And she asked me what the dating scene was.
And I sent good. Not good.
Oh no. I sent her a GIF of a dumpster fire. And then, do you remember the MTV show Next?
Yes.
I sent her just like the Next like logo thing. I sent those back to back and I'm like, basically this.
I feel like she should already know that from your like reasons why I swipe left. Like honestly, I'm not in the dating scene, but just from your experience thus far.
So here's the problem. I'm over 30. So I'm like, if I date someone who's in their 20s, they don't get it. If I date someone in their 30s, they have basically have two standpoints. I want kids. So I want a relationship right now. And I want to build with you and I want to grow with you. And I want kids, which is kind of what I want. But also I'm like, you're rushing me. And now I just feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm out. But then there's also the guy that's like, I've made peace with the fact that like I'm over 30 and I'm probably never going to have kids. But like, if I meet a girl that has kids, like I'm a great stepdad. And I'm like, but I want to get pregnant again. And then it's like, you have the guys in their late 30s that are like 100% like, listen, I'm like over 35. I know who I am and I'm not changing. And like it or lump it, this is me. So just like deal with it. And I'm like, listen, you are a piece of garbage. You are a jerk. There is a reason that you are not with anybody. And you either need to change that or stay single.
Too bad you couldn't be a surrogate, but there is no way they would ever let you.
Oh my God. I have actually looked into it. And like my OB straight up was like, you cannot be a surrogate. She's like, first of all, the ectopic pregnancy rules you out. Then the Momo twins rules you out. And the fact that you're classified as a high risk. She goes, you're a trifecta of, you can't.
Yeah, no.
The only way that I could be a surrogate is if I actually got pregnant again and then gave the baby up for adoption, which is not surrogacy. Like, I would just need to give an adopted baby up.
And that's only, like, I feel like if that pregnancy went well, maybe. But even then, like, it's you still had all those things prior to. So.
Well, and like.
They don't like complicated births.
Yeah.
For a surrogate.
Yeah. And it's like, I've already had a C-section, which means my next one is going to be a VBAC, which for those of you that don't know, VBAC is vaginal birth after C-section. So if you hear people talking about a VBAC, that's a VBAC. Shanna had one. And when we were pregnant together, like she was talking all about VBACs, this and that. And I was like, why don't you just let me ask my OB? I'm like, my OB is like one of the fifth highest risk OBs for like Southwestern Ontario. I'm like, she should know. So I was like, oh, my OB came in for one of her like daily rounds with me. I was like, question for you. What's your thoughts on a VBAC? And she goes, you've never been pregnant. And I'm like, no, it's not for me. I just want your take on it. I'm like, I'm asking for a second opinion. And she's like, how long ago? And I'm like, well, like her child's this old and like her second child is due like 6 days after my original due date. And she's like, oh yeah, then she's fine. So I like said to Shanna, I was like, go find a doctor that'll let you have the VBAC. Like,
yeah.
So, and I can't remember if she had a VBAC or a C-section with her second. I honestly don't. But yeah, back to dating. It sucks. If you're dating over 30, have fun.
However, if you are a male over 30 and want to have a kid and can take it slow, but still talk about the future, call Erica.
Like, literally, like, my criteria is not that bad. It's, like, you need to not be a degenerate piece of crap, not smoke, or, like, willing to quit smoking. Could you, like, know how to cook and clean? Because, like, I don't want to do all of it. But also, I get mad when people cook and clean. So, like, you need to have the skills, but, like, not necessarily need to use them. I also don't barbecue, so you need to know how to barbecue 100%. And, like, be open to the fact that, like, I want more kids, and I'm not, like, crazy. I have guys that, like, they'll text me and I'm like, I look at it and I'm like, this conversation is going nowhere. And then I just don't text them anymore. And then they get mad at me. They're like, you didn't text me. And I was like, no, I did. You were supposed to text me back and you never did. And I'm kind of just over it.
Yeah.
I was like, sweetheart, I don't even chase my own alcohol. You think I'm going to chase you? I have no interest in chasing a man ever.
No. No, and you shouldn't have to, although I did chase Shane, I guess, but
yeah,
it worked out for me.
Yes, but you also, like, knew that Shane was, like, the one.
Yes.
I have not had that feeling. Like, honestly, I did, honestly, with my ex, I thought that he was the one, and it kind of all blew up in my face. So, like, part of me is trigger shy to, like, try again, because I legitimately had my heart broken. But part of me is like, do I actually know what I want? And then it's like, I was seeing someone that was like 100% different from my ex. And I still was like, man, this isn't for me. So I'm like, maybe I'm just perpetually single for the rest of my life.
I hope not. I hope you'll find somebody.
I kind of like feel like it's gonna be someone in my field of work.
Yeah.
Like, I can that's kind see of that. Where my mind goes.
I feel like that person would be ideal for you because I feel like you could have really good intellectual conversation, which is definitely something you need to be able to do with the person you're with.
Yeah, I really enjoy a good debate. And a debate, in my opinion, does not end with, well, you're stupid, which is generally how my debates ended with my ex.
Yeah.
He would try and get into an intellectual debate with me and then realize that he was over his head and then be like, well, you're stupid. And I'm like, no. I actually know what I'm talking about. You don't, and you really need to stop.
Yeah.
And then he would get mad at me for saying that. And I'm like, I can't do this. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I can't do this.
See? I know you. I know what you need.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, important. It's me. And it's that time in your life where you want what you want and you should have what you want.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going first for highs and lows this week because you have gone first like 4 times in a row.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so I'll start with my low. Ironically, with this episode, I'm having family drama. Like I alluded to, my family basically doesn't talk because my ex and I broke up and it's become like a whole thing. So shout out if you're mad that I'm talking about my family drama in public. I really don't care. I'm really not saying anything, sort of the fact that y'all don't talk to me, so whatever. My ex is on his 2-week gap for visitation. That was 100% his choice. And I'm tired. Like, since the time change, I'm so tired. And I don't know why I'm so tired, but I'm tired.
Oh, that's that.
And like, I go to bed at 11, I wake up at 5 a.m., and I still don't have enough hours in my day to do what I want. I'm also not done editing the podcast that I have to upload in like 2 days. I'm like on 20 minutes in and I need to edit a whole like 40 minutes, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but like when I edit, like I'm editing out like breathing noises and yeah. ums and Carla saying like every fifth
word. Yeah.
I mean, it's an interview with my mom. So like, it's not the worst thing, but my mom goes when she starts talking and I have to edit that out. So I have to like pause it and like zoom in and like just make sure that I'm getting like that part of the word. And then there's sniffles. And then my dad comes in with the dog. And like, there's so many things that I have to edit out. And I'm just like, oh my God, why?
I also feel like, see, there's my like again. I also feel that your job has gotten a lot busier. Therefore, a lot of the things you used to do while you were at work are now not happening that way.
So I am on the phone a lot in the morning at my job and then not so much in the afternoon. However, due to all these, like, due to COVID, we have longer than expected wait time people. I'm now on the phone till like 2-3 in the afternoon. And then it's like, for the last like couple hours of my shift, I'm like, I just want to sit in silence. I don't want to deal with anything. And then I'm just annoyed. And I'm like, then I get home and I don't want to be on my computer because I've been on it all day. And I don't want to be, and I don't want to be on, you know, I don't want to be on my computer. I don't want to do anything. I'm tired. And then it's like, it just keeps going day after day, day after day. And I'm like, it's the end of the month and I need to upload. And I'm like, oh crap. And then today at Dollarama, I was doing like, you know, the NASCAR, like they warm up in the lanes. Okay. So I'm not doing it very fast. Obviously, Regan's sitting in the cart. And then we go to check out. And at Dollarama, there's like chocolate bars on either side. So I'm like looking to see if there's like this one chocolate bar because like I need more Crunch bars and I can't find them anywhere. I only bought 3 and now I have to make these 3 last. Although Cass and I are going to the Dollarama this weekend, so I will double check for those, but I can't find any. So I'm looking, and Regan then, as I'm doing this, is not paying attention that she has to go the other way, and she's looking where I am, and the cart just like nails her in the side of the head, And like, this is how much time I had to react. I notice that this is going to happen. And I'm like, do I shove my hand in between my kid and the cart and risk poking my kid in the eye because she's not wearing her glasses? Or do I just kind of let it happen and hope and pray that like, it's not that bad? Me being clumsy, I'm like, don't shove your hand at your child's head because you're going to poke her in the eye. Well, she now has like a small little cut on like the edge of her eye from the shopping cart. So I picked her up and I'm holding her and she's crying and I'm sitting there going, I'm already having a bad day. I'm like, I'm not going to make this a worse day. So instead of crying, I'm just sitting there being like, show no emotion. Which like, I feel like my mom was like, are you not upset about this? I'm like, I'm very upset. But I'm like, if I think about this, I'm gonna cry. And I do not want to cry right now.
Yeah.
So let it go. And then by the time we like checked out and got to the car, she was like, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, thank God.
All right. I'm going to piggyback off that because I feel like it goes really well with my low. And then we'll both end on highs.
Perfect.
Very similar. Ella fell.
Very similar. This was like I inflicted an injury on my child. This is not similar.
Okay, but I thought I inflicted an injury on my child and my husband did not tell me that it was a previous injury.
Valid.
So Ella got really upset. Shane went to shower when he got home from work. She banged her head off the door a couple of times and then came crying to me. And she had this massive, like, cut and goose egg on her forehead. And I was like, oh, my God, we need ice. Like, oh, my God. Shane gets out of the shower. I'm like, please don't look at your child. I hurt her. Not that I physically hurt her, but, like, I felt like I hurt her because I let her do it. And he's like, no, I forgot to tell you. I had to, like, fill out paperwork because she fell. Like, she was running and, like, her head got too far in front of her body and she fell and like hit her forehead on the concrete and cut her forehead open right before he picked her up. So like it was still so fresh that when she banged her head that I thought it was the same thing. And Shane's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, it looked so bad. I like got an ice pack and was kept trying to chase her around the house, putting it on her forehead. And I felt so bad. Like, I was in tears when he got out of the shower. And he's like, what is going on? I'm like, her forehead. He's like, that was not there before. Like, that was there when I picked her up. And I was like, these are the things you need to come home and tell your wife right away when you have to fill out an ouchie form. You need to tell your wife.
Oh, I've had to fill a few of those out at daycare. And, like, they get the first time that daycare ever has to call you with the ouchie form, they're just like, oh God, we're going to get the fifth degree. And then when they find out that you're like, did she die? Oh, okay. She's fine. Great. That's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. They don't care.
No.
Like they don't have anxiety calling you.
No. And like, obviously daycare couldn't call me because it just happened. Like Shane got there and the kids were all outside and Shane's like, where's Ella? They're like, oh, she's inside. She just fell. All right, okay. What's your high?
So I got to go to Windsor this weekend, and I did not see Carla. I got to see my friend Shanna. She had her birthday party. It was lots of fun, except her and I both got super drunk. And then the next day was not super fun.
I was going to say, it's so funny because you put on here that you get 2 weekends to be with friends and get a recharge. I feel like the hangover did not help the recharge.
I mean, the recharge was the fact that I got to see my friends and that was awesome. But then also, like, I woke up and I was, like, legit dying. And, like, that was not fun at all.
No. So that was... still had to drive 2 hours home.
Oh, God. I mean, the drive down was, like, it was so easy this time. I was like, why is it so easy? But I feel like because I put on, like, the Drama Queens podcast and I got through, like, 1.5 of them, I was like, we're in Windsor. I was like, wow, that was so easy. Yeah, so I went to Windsor and got super drunk and then puked all over my friend's bathroom floor. I cleaned it up. Just saying.
Twice, not once, but twice.
No, I only puked once on...
No, you only puked once, but you cleaned it twice.
Oh, I told you I cleaned it twice?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really should go back and look through the messages of what I said that night, but, like, I don't really want to.
You said you cleaned it that night and then you said you cleaned it again in the morning.
Yeah, I somehow cleaned it with just my hands that night, and then I cleaned it in the morning with, like, cleaner and a cloth, and, like, actually wiped down the whole bathroom because I felt so bad. And then I get to go and help Cass move into her new apartment this weekend, and I'm so excited.
Yay!
As you all know, organization and planning is, like, my jam. So she's like, can you come help me, like, unpack and organize? And I was like,
yes,
I will. I'm like, of course this is happening. It's me. It's you. Let's get this done. I was like, I'm so excited. So I get to be social, which honestly I need to have, like, more child-free mom time, which is part of this whole episode of you need to be, like, you the person and not just you the mom.
Yeah.
Can we put that as, like, a little logo thing to put on the
Instagram? 100%.
That just, like, came to me. What is your high?
Okay, so my high is that we're about 2.5 weeks out from when I had surgery.
We've only been talking about this since January.
I know. I've been, like, dying since Christmas. So, yay! I feel really good. I'm still working from home. I haven't seen a doctor post-op yet, so I go next week. But I've been feeling really good. They told me not to lift more than 5 pounds. With a child, that becomes very difficult because my child weighs 25 pounds.
I don't know why this is like, hey, don't lift anything more than this. I'm like, as a mom, you're just like, what?
Because they cut through all your muscles. It's like having a C-section, but not as intense, which is why I don't think it's as long. But I did 2 full weeks of really not lifting her. And then this last week, I've been lifting her a lot more. I have pain here and there, but for the most part, it's not bad. So I feel really good. And I'm happy that that is behind me. I seem to be able to eat anything, which is great news because I am not the person that doesn't eat what they want. Like, I want to eat
so
what I want.
I'm so excited about this because I'm coming back to Windsor and we're literally going on, like, a little foodie trip.
Deal. And I can eat anything. It was funny. We went out for dinner the week after I had my surgery. Not even, like, four or five days later. And the first thing I put in my mouth at dinner was a cheese wonton with sweet chili sauce, and I was like, I'm not supposed to have anything deep fried or spicy.
Dairy.
No, dairy's okay. But, like, dairy's because it's fatty. So really, I'm not supposed to have any part of that. But I felt fine. I was totally fine. I was fine after, like, all-you-can-eat sushi. I felt great. And I was like, sweet. And I've had no issues since. So everything went well. I'm just hoping everything's healing well. I still have my bandages on, so I have no idea what's going on under there.
I'm so excited because we had planned to do a Windsor trip, and then you were like, I'm going to cancel it because I'm not feeling too hot. And this is, like, before we knew that you had to have your gallbladder removed. So we've been, like, impatiently waiting for this to happen so that we can get together with the kids. And now that it's happening, I'm so excited because I'm going to take the kids and come down to Windsor for, like, literally a weekend. Like, I want to come down on, like, a Friday night and be like, okay, they're asleep in the car. We're just going to move them to a bed. And then we're going to wake up in the morning and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I just need to finish getting my house organized and then we'll be good to go. Which is another high. So I'm doing this big declutter challenge. I'm way behind, but I am going to shout out the Secret Slob. I'm obsessed with the way she does things. She goes off the fly lady method, but she does her own twist on it, and I like it.
For those of you who don't know, it's basically like, get your house in order, but not in an unmanageable way. Like, she makes it that it's a manageable task that you can do, that it totally doesn't just completely alter your entire daily schedule.
And I really follow, I honestly follow a lot of different people that, like, organizers and declutter people, and I've kind of made my own from like a little bit of all of them. But she's doing this declutter challenge, and I jumped in. Like, they're on day 20. I started day one today, and I did 3 days today. And yeah, it's springtime. Get your house in order. I'm trying to get it to a point, especially because I'm going back to work soon, and I am going back to work in the office. So I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I've been home since I had Ella. Since before I had Ella, I've been working from home. So I don't know what to do with my life. But Shane and I have also had the conversation. And I think this surgery has really helped open our eyes. But Shane can take Ella to daycare. And then I will pick her up when I'm done work. So then I will get 2 hours of like alone time in the morning, and Shane will get 2 hours of alone time in the afternoon, and then we have family time, and then we have us time, and then we go to bed, right? Like,
which fulfills the need of self-care, it fulfills the need of you with your partner, and it fulfills the need of you as a family. So you basically get all of that, and you have time to get all of the stuff done that you want to get done. So that really is like a perfect plan.
Right? We were talking about it, and it really is probably going to happen next week. But it's so, this is where communication is huge. It's so important. I don't think, can you hear me? Yeah. I didn't know if I froze. But it's such a great thing. Like, I am so excited about it. I think it's going to be great, because I was like, I might still take Ella at like 6:30, 6:45 in the morning, so then I can like go for a walk before I start work. But then I'm out and sweaty and gross, where I can just stay home. He can take her to daycare. I can go for a walk, shower, and get ready for work and go to work. And then I get like 2 hours of me time. Like, I still get to see her in the morning, and I still get to see her in the afternoon, but like I get a couple hours of me time. And I'm so excited. And Shane's excited because now he's been like picking her up and dropping her off. So he's been getting zero alone time. So me having surgery has like really opened his eyes to everything I deal with.
And he's more respectful.
Yeah. Like, he's so much, like, he's so understanding of what I had to go through for the last year. And he's like, I get it. And I'm like, yeah, when I just want to like leave and go grocery shopping for 2 hours after she goes to bed, it's because I don't get that time. When I'm picking her up and dropping her off, my entire day revolves around her and I get nothing. You get to drive to work by yourself and you get to come home by yourself. And then like you get way more time. So it's been good. I think it's going to be really good. If his schedule changes, like, nights is going to be interesting, and that's going to suck. But I'm hoping they tell me that I'm not supposed to lift for a while longer, so he has to stay on days longer. But we'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed. I will say something that you touched on, and just going back to our episode, the whole thing with communication. So many couples, and by so many couples, literally every single time that I have a conversation with any single one of my friends since I was like 20, oh my God, my ex is blah, 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 and I have a problem. And every single time I have the same advice. Have you tried talking to your partner about this and like figuring it out? No. What a novel concept.
It's so important. And it just came to me today. Like, we were talking, I was like, what are you going to do when you don't drive Ella anymore? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, what if you keep driving her and then I just pick her up? And he's like, that could work. And then we were talking about it more tonight. And I was like, it's kind of like the perfect plan.
But what if when he's on nights that he comes home and showers and then takes Ella to daycare and then comes home and goes to bed?
Ideally, that would be good, but he's only working till 3, so that would keep him up till.
Like, oh, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I thought he was like till like 6 a.m. or something. And I was like, he can just come home and do that.
That would be lovely. Like his nights is really afternoons. He works like, no, he doesn't even work till 3. He might even only work till 11. So he should be getting up and taking her anyway.
Yeah.
You can sleep all day. You can get up and take her still. And then get out of my hair so I can have me time. Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We appreciate all the support. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the podcast. Jump over to our social media for all the links on everything we touched on today. We want to hear from you. Send us a DM or email. See you on the 15th.